Bible says over in one place, and this was David, whenever that he said this, he said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go even unto the house of the Lord." And in that day and in that time, David probably went maybe once a year with Jesse to the tabernacle. That was all the church that they had in that day and in that time. But I believe with all my heart that David loved God, and he loved his work, and he loved the fact that God had called him and had him anointed and was using him for his honor and glory. And the Bible tells us over in the book of Acts that David was a man that was after God's own heart. He was full of mistakes, he was full of trials and sins and things like that. But there's one thing that you cannot deny. He loved God with every fiber of his being. Glad to see each and every one that's here today. All that have come this way to be with us in the services and to serve God, endeavoring to serve God in spirit and in truth. And I don't know if anybody's worried about it or not, but the sun is shining, and I guess the groundhog is seeing a shadow. You know, I that's the first time I've ever been booed in the pool. Hey, I understand. I'm just being silly. At any rate, I never understood that I always thought that maybe sunshine would mean we're going to have more good weather. And then if it was cloudy, that we wouldn't have but just snow and rain and more winter. So never could figure that out as a kid, but there's a lot of things I couldn't figure out as a kid. If you have your Bible with you today, we ask that you turn with us to the book of John, the first chapter of the book of John's Gospel. Now this book, and as you turn there, we're going to start with the first verse. But as you turn there, this book was written, of course, by John the Beloved. He's referred to as by himself as being the disciple that Jesus loved. And it wasn't that Jesus didn't love the others, but there was something special about John. John was privy to many of the things that Jesus did, and he recognized in Jesus something a little bit more than what the other writers did. The other writers wrote what they call synoptic gospels. That is, they had a similarity about them. But John looked far deeper than just the life alone. He looked at who he was and where that he had come from and why God had sent him. He looked at the divinity, for not wanting to use large words or anything, but he looked at the divinity of Christ, the being of Christ. And so we're going to start today with the first verse. This is very familiar scripture as we read this before you today. It says in the first verse of John, first chapter, it said, "In the beginning was the Word." That is Christ Jesus. He was referred to as the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things are made by him, and without him is not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The light, and I want you to really key in on this today, this next scripture. "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I'm going to repeat that. The light shineth in darkness, and it's still shining today. "But the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness unto the light, that all men through him," that is the light, "would believe." John was not that light. He was not that light. But he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that that is Christ, was that true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of men, but born of God. If correctly read, this is the first down through the 13th verses of the first chapter of the book of John. Our text will come from the 8th chapter of this same book, John chapter 8, and in the 12th verse. John chapter 8, and in the 12th verse. And this comes after that Jesus had stymied the Pharisees and the Sadducees over this, whether to stone or not to stone a woman that was taken in adultery. And you remember those famous words of Jesus as he answered them. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. But Jesus goes on and he declares this. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, not be in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We find today that this almost runs parallel with what we find in the first chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis, in the first chapter, and in the first verse, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that with every fiber of my being, with all my mind, with all my heart today, that God created it all. And we find today that there was something that pervaded as God started to create. Now, God knew what he was doing. Nothing was happening by accident. And God went back to a lab and said, fellas, help me with this. No, God knew what he wanted. And whenever that he created it, every time that he created something, he said it was good. What God does is good. God is good today. But there was darkness upon the face of the deep, the Bible says. And it says that the Spirit of God, now you see all three of the members of the triune Godhead were there. God the Father, the Word that we have read about, and the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep. Now, after that was done, the Bible says that God said, let there be light. In other words, he declared light. He declared there to be light, or to recognize that there were light. And why did he do that today? It was because there was darkness. And this light split the darkness. It made a distinction today. Now, I believe, and I get kind of mystic with this, but I believe it was a declaration of light that separated the darkness. Can you imagine if God had left everything the way that it was without light? There would be no sunlight. I draw a distinction between what he says here about the light and about the sunlight. I think they were two different things. People can disagree with me if they want. But he put forth that there is light that separates the darkness. Why? Because darkness had pervaded and overtaken all that was around as he began to create. And the Bible goes on a little bit further, and he says that he saw the light, and he said that it was good. He divided, in the third verse, he divided the light from the darkness. There is a difference between light and dark. In dark, you cannot see. I guess the groundhog saw a shadow, so that means there was light out there. goody for him. And I want you to know also today that there is darkness. Now, what we see as natural light and what we see as the physical darkness is not what we're aiming for today. It's the light that God created and the light that God declared. As we read in our text, the Bible tells us today that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In other words, I am the spiritual light. I am the one that is sent to divide and to define the darkness, to define sin, but also to make a pathway in which that man can see what he is before God. You see, we're cursed by Adam's sin and transgression. I won't go into a lot of detail on that today, but I want you to know the things that we see in the world, the things that are going on, he is the God of this world, the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. It says that he's the God of this world. He has blinded the eyes of mankind. He has them in darkness, and they're also bound in chains of sin, just like we sang the song a little while ago, how that he broke the chains of sin. He broke the power of sin. And we find today that as he began to declare the light, and I believe what we're going to look at today is the light of Christ. You see, all things, the Bible says, were made by him. And not anything was made that was made. All was created by him. Bible tells us over in first chapter of Hebrews, it says, and by him all things consist. At this very moment, he's holding all things together physically and spiritually today. And we find that, my friend, there is still, though there is the light of Christ in the world, it's still piercing the darkness. The scripture tells us today that in him is light. And the light of Christ lights the life of men. I believe that before that the world comes to a close and Christ comes back, that every individual in this world, and I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know how that he'll get the means there. But I do know this, that the Bible says in Titus that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. All men will have that appear to them at one time or another. He will make that known unto them. But at the same time, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, there used to be a popular show, when I wasn't doing my math, I was watching this guy, much that my parents didn't know about. But he always said, "Honey, the devil made me do it." You know, the devil made me do it. And you know, that was kind of a contradiction, because Satan doesn't make you do that. He'll lead you up to the temptation, and he allows you to make the choice, so you get in trouble, and he slinks back off into the background. You see what I'm saying today? He's the God of this world, the Bible says, over in one place. He's blinded the sights of mankind, and they are still in darkness and cannot see. But there's where that the gospel comes in. There's where the light of the world, that's Jesus Christ, that's where that comes in. To give light, to give vision, to give guidance, to warn individuals. That, my friend, that in the darkness that they're in, if they continue in this darkness, there's an even greater darkness that they will face one day in eternity. Have you ever been in a cave where that they will turn out the lights? Do you talk about a panic? That is so dark within some caves that you cannot see your hand in front of your face. And someone will say today, well, I don't have to go into a cave to experience that. I've experienced it with something else. But my friend, it is a darkness that you cannot see which way that you're going. And that's how individuals are in this world today. They cannot see which way to go. And in darkness, they'll follow kind of anything because they're looking for guidance. They're looking maybe for a way out. They're looking for something to satisfy the longing that they have in their soul. They know something's wrong. They know they're not right, but they just can't quite figure it out. And so they'll go after other gods. They'll go after other ideas. They'll follow this individual and that individual. And the sad part about it is the people that they are following are in darkness also. They've just latched onto something that'll give them a temporary and a very quick fix, if you will. But the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus is the light of the world. We'll echo that throughout this message today. He's the light of the world. It's not anyone else, anything else, no king, no president, whatever the case might be. It's Christ Jesus. And I want to go on record and say that Jesus Christ is my king today. He saved my soul. He redeemed me from sin. He gave me light. And I didn't realize whenever that I was saved just how much trouble that I truly was in until I looked backward and saw the chasm and the abyss of darkness that I was headed for. And you see, that's what the devil wants today, is for man to deceive himself, to walk in darkness, to be in darkness today. And my friend, to go off into hell. And my friend, without hope and without God in the world. But I believe today with all my heart that the light opposes the darkness. Whenever that it says that the darkness comprehends not the light, which is Christ Jesus, it's not that they necessarily, those in darkness, don't understand. That's a part of it today. But the darkness cannot overwhelm it. You know, whenever that you read over even in Genesis, when you read even in the Gospels, though the world and the darkness may try to come at and try to mask and try to hide and try, my friend, with everything in their very being to snuff out that light shines. This will never happen with the light of Christ Jesus. He will shine eternally, 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 forever and forever. And my friend, those that will come unto Him will have the light, my friend, that not only lights their soul, but also, my friend, will light their life. I know it sounds like a song that says, you light up my life, my friend. That's fine for the romance part of life. But I want you to know Christ lights up my life. And my friend, there are times whenever that mine doesn't shine. But whenever that I get into this word and I get into praying and I get into singing about how that He came to me, my friend, it just stirs it all up within. And it just makes me to realize today that He is my light. My word, the word of God, the gospel, Jesus Christ lights my pathway and lights my way. Does He light yours today? I hope He does. Because I'll tell you one thing, there is no other light in this world that can help, that can guide, that can satisfy like Jesus Christ can today. And you might say, preacher, every time we come here, you preach about Christ. It's like the story of the man that went to a counselor, a therapist, and he did a Rorschach test. And you know, and I've told this before, but the man would hold up pictures and he'd ask him, what do you see? Well, one picture he'd hold up and it said, I see an elephant. He gave him another picture. I see an elephant under a tree. He held up another picture. I see an elephant drinking water. And the man said, "You certainly have some fixation with elephants." And the fellow that he was testing said, "It's not me. You're the one with the picture of the elephants." But my friend, I want to tell you something today. You can look, and if you look and let the light illuminate it today, you can see Christ in everything. You can look at the creation more than the mechanism of how that it came about, but look beyond that as to who created it, who made it, who's holding it together. I've sat in science labs and worked experiments and calculated and everything. And there are times whenever that I would sit back and look at it and the order and the things that came about. And I thought, "Oh Lord, you have made this. You have set it in motion. And not only that, you have given me the ability, the Holy Spirit to recognize this today, that you are light, you're holding it together." And I want you to know that for a lost soul, he'll hold it together, and he'll hold it together for you all the way into eternity. The darkness will never, ever snuff out the light of Christ Jesus. Now, I find today that the Bible tells us that teaches that he puts this light within us when he saves us. Did you know that? Yeah, the light of Christ within you. And we find over in Romans chapter 8 in the 29th verse that it says when he saves us, he conforms us to the image of his Son, Christ Jesus. And you might say, well, why would Paul write something like that? Because you see today, God cannot look upon sin. He can't. Before, he saw that we were sinners. But when we're saved, he sees the imprint and the image and the righteousness and the holiness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he remembers, and not that he can't remember, but he recalls, "This is the one that I sent my Son into the world to die for, to resurrect, to justify, to save today." And unto people today that aren't saved, I want to tell you something. This is what they need. He is who they need. Not a new way, not a new gospel, not a new philosophy, but they need Jesus Christ, the Lord, in their heart and in their soul. He conforms us unto his image. That's how God receives us. The Bible goes on in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, and it says in the first verse, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." No condemnation. He takes that away. And he conforms us. And he shapes us. Now, he has done that in our heart. And someone will say, well, what about our flesh? Well, there's a different story. Because you see, that part of it, my friend, still has that Adamic nature in it. Now, it does not mean today, because that I'm saved by grace, and it's an eternal grace, it does not mean today that, man, I can just, I'm saved, and I can just go do whatever I want to. I can just sin, but I'm going to heaven. I can do this, and I can go to heaven. You know, I can say this, and I can go to heaven. No. He saves us so that Christ will not have died in vain. It says over in one place, this hit me one time whenever I was preaching out of the book of Timothy, I come across it. And it says, "Be ye tenderhearted, loving and kind to one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He's forgiven us so that Christ can dwell in us. Do you know Christ is dwelling within you right now? Did you know that? If you're like me, I was always a smart aleck. You probably already figured that out. But, you know, whenever I hear the preachers say that, I don't see him. You know, of course, I did that where Mom and Dad couldn't hear me. But I want you to know he dwells within you. His light dwells within you. And you recognize that light. You recognize him today. But do you know that he also wants not only to conform your soul to the likeness of his Son and salvation, he also wants to conform your life. He wants today for that same light that's within you to shine forth unto others. We used to sing a song years ago. Oh man, we went to this church and yes, I was a kid and I thought, boy, like Amazing Grace, they're going to sing this song. Let the lower lights be burning. And I never really understood, you know, what's he talking about? Arbor lights like they are down in the lake and all that? No, he was talking about that same light, which is Christ Jesus. And he says, unto us, he gives the keeping. Listen to it. I may not be able to get it all quoted right, but he gives unto us the keeping of the lights along the shore. You see, what God wants is for this in your life and in your everyday walk. He wants this. He wants that light that is within to shine forth. How does it shine forth? It shines forth whenever that we read about Jesus. Interesting, I worked in a pharmacy down in the ghetto of Nashville. There was technicians I worked with. One of them had a boyfriend, and he would call up every day that I was there. And then it was like clockwork. And you know, he'd call up Aletha and he'd say, is Preach there? Is the preacher there? And if I was there, I knew, oh man, I'm going to be tied up for a while. But he would get on the phone and he would ask me questions. And I always carried a manual of, you know, of pharmacy science, and I also carried a Bible with me. Because bless your heart, he would ask me every type of question you can imagine. And you know, he would ask questions, then he would hang up. Then he called back and he said, well, I got a question about this. And he said, will you help me understand this? And so on and so forth. And you know, one day he called up and we were discussing it, and he said this. He said, preacher, or preach is what he called me. Preach, I want to find out as much about Jesus as I can. I want to know about him. He said, you know, I love Aletha. And he said, I want to know everything I can about her, but you know, I want to know more about Jesus every day. And he said, tell me about Jesus. Tell me why he did this. Tell me why he said that. Tell me why that the Apostle Paul said this. Why did they do this? Why did they not do this? And I would try to explain as best as I knew how. And I always wondered whatever happened to him. But, you know, with the witness I felt over that phone, someday we're going to meet in a better place, at a better time. And you know something? I'm going to sit down with him and say, Carl, do you know now? But he wanted to know more about him. And that's how that we're conformed. We find out about him. We conform ourselves. We try to walk in his footsteps. We find out the reason why that he said what he did. And you know, as we get closer and closer and closer to that light, we begin to radiate it in our lives and in things that we say. Sometimes you don't have to walk up to somebody and say, do you know Jesus? You know, they'll be able to tell. And I've had that happen to me. I don't know if you have too, I'm sure. But you know, we find out more about him, the more we become like him, the more we reflect his light. It's like the moon in its fullness. Whenever that it's out in the midst of darkness, in its fullness, my friend, you can see by the moonlight. Why? Because it reflects off of the sun. Same thing with Jesus. The closer that we get to him today, the more today, my friend, that will reflect him. And we'll show more about him. So through his word, we draw closer unto him today. And Peter says over in one place, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word of prophecy right here. Peter also, Paul also in another place says that we pray without ceasing. We draw closer and closer and closer to Him today. And we also give thanks. We pray unto Him today. And you draw closer to God. And my friend, that light begins to shine out unto others. Now, I want to tell you something. You are under, if a person that's been saved, and don't take this wrong, a person that's been saved, in reality, is under no obligation to do all these things we said, to reflect. You know, it's like the lepers that were healed. There was only one who came back to thank Jesus. The other nine left. Now, Jesus didn't curse them, but you know, a person can do that. But I want to tell you something. You lose something in the end. A life that could have been glorifying Him. And you know what happens? Today, whenever that we become covered up and we become masked over with the world and we begin to agree with the world, we begin to do what the world does, we begin to indulge in the evil and everything. Do you know what happens? No light. Nothing to reflect Jesus. Nothing to reflect Him before a lost and an unsaved world that in their heart and in their very being, they're begging for something that can redeem them from sin. And you might say today, preacher, I hope you're not judging. I'm not. Because it took me a lot of years to understand the Christ that God wanted me to be conformed outwardly under the image of his precious Son. In Matthew chapter 5 and in the 14th verse, the Bible tells us that Jesus Himself said not only was He the light, but also that we are lights before a lost and a dying world. Listen to what He says over in the book of Matthew, in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and then put it under a bushel." You don't do that. Then what's the use of lighting a candle if you're going to put it under a bushel? Makes sense, doesn't it? "Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, so that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that what? They might see the good works within you that you're doing for the Lord, and that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, someday we will not have the darkness to contend with. Someday, it'll be as it says in the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation. We will be in that blessed city of God, the New Jerusalem. And do you know what's going to be the light of that city? It's not going to be the sun. Not going to be the moon. But it says the Son and God the Father will be that light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that dwelleth in darkness, if he comes unto me," He says, "he'll have the light of life." And you know, for us as Christian people, what He desires to do is for us to be lights in a lost and dying world. I had to learn the hard way. They're going to make fun of you anyway. Even if you go along with them, you might as well go along with the right one. Might as well go along with Jesus, because they're going to make fun, they're going to ridicule, they're going to mock everything, no matter what you do. But just don't let it cheat you out of letting your light shine. Unto this church, continue to let your light shine that He has put down in your heart and in your soul. And so much the more do so, because the evil is all around us. But Christ is the light of the world. And that light dwells within you.